serving the Space Coast with the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You are tuned in to 1510 AM, WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, Merritt Island, Titusville, and the Beaches, FM 94.7.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I'm Pastor Paul Esposito, coming to you from Island Community Church. Thanks for joining us here today on this Wednesday, hump day already. Thanks for spending 30 minutes of it here with me as we together, we sit under the authority of the Word of God, and let's see where the Lord leads us today. Our launching point here for today's message here on WGOD is coming out of the book of Acts, chapter 2, where the apostle Peter has been preaching on the day of Pentecost. He was preaching them. He was proving to them that Jesus' tomb is empty. The book of Acts comes about through the testimony of eyewitnesses, as the whole New Testament does. An apostle, to be an apostle, you had to be an eyewitness. We just looked at that a week ago when they picked a replacement for Judas. He had to be an eyewitness of the risen Christ. An apostle, figuratively speaking or literally, knew the color of Jesus' eyes, and he saw him alive after he had died. So he's preaching on the day of Pentecost, and he says, "Let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said to them, "Repent, and let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So that's where we're at here today. We'll go through the rest of the chapter. I invite you guys to church tonight. If you're new to the area, if your church doesn't meet on Wednesday nights, I invite you to ours, because we teach the Word of God on Sunday mornings and on Wednesday evenings. Here tonight, 6 o'clock, my associate pastor Darren Solana is doing the teaching. We just started a new book in Philippians. We're in chapter 1. You are invited. We would love to see you. Now, Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. And this radio program is brought to you by the good people of Island Community Church. Okay, let's get back into the Word. This sermon is entitled "The Church of Jesus Christ." We're in the second chapter of Acts. Verse 39, "For the promise is to you and to your children, and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call." You see, and your children will follow you. They'll follow you, fathers, anywhere, and you moms as well. Your kids will follow you wherever you go. You know, that's why we read whole families got baptized at the same time. They followed the dad or the mother, if need be. And if he's called you, if he has called you, then you will hear his words. Because you have a built-in receiver on the inside of you. And when he calls you, he speaks to that receiver that you have on the inside of you. Like I said last Sunday, if you have ears to hear, if you have that receiver. Now, when God speaks to you, he doesn't speak to you. This is what Oswald Chambers writes. He doesn't speak to you. He speaks to the receiver on the inside of you. And that would be the nature of God. When he speaks to you, he speaks to the nature of God that's already on the inside of you, regardless of whether or not you've called on the name of the Lord yet.
You've been chosen since eternity past for salvation. You can have the receiver in you, and you don't even know it yet. But once you hear the gospel, like what happened to me, I've given the testimony a million times here. I was going to this worldly church, and the book the guy was using for his sermon text was Hillary Clinton's book, It Takes a Village. I'm serious. Then at the end of the sermon, he said this. He said, oh, by the way, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And I got up and I said, that's me. That's me. That's me. Now that was 1995. You do the math. I don't even know how many years ago that was. But I'll tell you what, I've never looked back since that day. Because I had the receiver on the inside of me, dormant as it was. And the only thing that wakes it up is the Word of God wakes it up. Might not be activated yet, but it's just waiting. It's just waiting. And I would venture to say that some people are just waiting for you as well. You guys should be human torches, matches. People out here in the world, they're waiting for you to strike that match. You are the cherry on top, icing on the cake. When God puts someone on your heart, he's already dealing with that person. He's just waiting. He's called you to go and just share this simple truth with them. You don't have to be Moses. If you have the built-in receiver, if you have ears to hear, then you will recognize that you helped to kill the Son of God, like what happened to these guys. Sinning against a holy God is a serious thing. Then Peter shows how to make it right. All right, you've got me. I'm a sinner. I understand. I've done bad things. My sin helped to put the Son of God on the cross. Okay, I admit it. You got me. Where do we go from here? Three things. Repent, metanoia, change your mind, leave your sin behind, go in the other direction. Number two, call on the name of the Lord. That would be to confess his name. Matthew 10:32. Which we do in baptism here. Whoever confesses me before men, him or her, I will confess before my Father, which is in heaven. So repent, call on the name of the Lord, and get baptized. Walk in newness of life. You see, something supernatural happens to you when you get baptized. Am I right? I mean, I've baptized a lot of people here in this church. Am I right? I mean, hasn't your life changed since then? To as many as the Lord our God will call. God has to buzz your internal cell phone. Your receiver, his receiver, inside of you to wake you up. And that promise is to as many as the Lord our God will call. Now let's move on here to verse 40. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Boy, if only Peter could see us now, huh? And he thought that time was perverse? Pop your head into our timeline, Pete. Have a look around here. But at least we don't feed Christians to the lions, or I should say, what, yet, right? Verse 41, then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day around 3,000 souls were added to them. Wow, now this is the birth of the church of Jesus Christ. Through Peter, he saves 3,000 people. So now we're up to around 3,120 people in the church. Started with 120, verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. All right, four things that they did here in the church. Number one, the apostles' doctrine. Doctrine meaning instruction and in teaching. For us, it would be this. Our Bibles. We have something these guys didn't have. I sound like the Wizard of Oz. We've got something they never had. You've got the completed Word of God. They didn't have that. They had to rely on someone getting up and saying, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Or to you, he could say, he who's begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. To you, he might say, don't be deceived. Evil company corrupts good morals. I don't know. The apostles spoke it then, and prophets. We have got the Word of God complete now. So the first thing they did, doctrine, the apostles' doctrine. Number two, fellowship. That is hanging out with other Christians. Face it, we're different than everyone else now. You have been called out of this evil world, or as Peter called it, this generation of perverts. This Epstein Island that we live on now. Sorry. But you live on the island, and I don't mean merit. You live on Epstein Island. That's where we live. It's all around us. It's all around us. And you must navigate your way, you see. That's why Jesus said, don't let anyone steal your crown. Because you live on Epstein Island. It's all around. Perverted generation, he says. And that was then. They didn't even marry their cats then. Or who? Their peacocks? Oh. Sorry, I'm a little behind on the times. Marry your bird. Third thing, perhaps communion, like they did 51 days earlier, the day before Passover. At least they shared a meal together, the breaking of bread. And the fourth thing, prayers. So, some Bible study. This is what the church does. This is what the church is supposed to do. Bible study, hanging around with other Christians, some eating together. That sounds pretty good, right? A little eating, right? Little pizza and antipasta. All right. I was waiting for a snide remark. So there it is. Eating together. This is why a lot of churches have a place in the back of their building. It's called Fellowship Hall. Ours, like I said, is just right back here. And some praying together. Wednesday nights for the past 200 years were called a Wednesday night prayer meeting. Kind of lost on us today, but all Wednesday nights. Sunday nights were evangelical. Wednesdays were prayer meetings. Preceded by fellowship in Fellowship Hall. Breaking bread together as a family. So all of this came about by what we've just read here in the book of Acts. And how to do church. Verse 43. Then fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continually daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. That's the word aphelos, smoothness, like a smooth stone, simple, sincere, simple heart, smooth heart, much love, right? Verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. So, God saves them. Let's make this more personal. God saves you, and then you are added to the church. Look, it doesn't say, and the Lord added to the couch daily those that were being saved. It says he added to the church daily those who were being saved. Because the church of Jesus Christ is a force. It's a force to be reckoned with. You get saved and God adds you to the church. Not to the couch. He adds you to the church. The church is God's weapon of choice to turn this evil upside down, Epstein Island right side up. It's the church. The church is God's weapon of choice to combat evil in the world. Look, 50 years ago, they never would have got away with the stuff they get away with here if the church had a backbone and if they would have stood up and not allowed all of this evil going on here in this country. The church is God's weapon of choice to spread the gospel and to fulfill the Great Commission. Our radio broadcast, Island Community Church, pays for a lot of that. Is God's weapon of choice for us to get the word of God out, outside of these four walls and into this community. The church. The church of Jesus Christ is a force to be reckoned with. Don't forget it. We're never alone. We're together. We're the church family. We're the body of Christ. Jesus said to Peter a few years earlier, he said, I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Now Jesus told this to the pastor and the members of the faithful church. Revelation 3:7. He says, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. He says, I know your works. You see, I have set before you an open door and no one can shut it. See, this is why he's added you to his church. Look, this door is swung wide open in the name of Jesus. The church of Jesus Christ is a force to be reckoned with. Jesus said to the spiritual leader and to all the members of the faithful church, he says, behold, I've set before you an open door and no demon from hell or man can shut it. Makes me want to buy more airtime on the radio. Makes me want to buy time on other radio stations. Makes me want to add another service here during the week. I mean, he wrote this to the pastor. To all the pastors out here, if you happen to be blessed enough to pastor a faithful church that sits under the word of God and does what he says, to all of you, I have opened up a door that no demon in hell can close. I think we ought to have more service, if that's the case. Makes me want to give more. It compels me to want to pray harder. Serve better, love better, walk better, trust better. and to be a living sacrifice. The church of Jesus Christ is a force to be reckoned with. God saves you, and then God puts you in the church. That's what we learned today. God has saved you, and then God's put you in the church. Easy to understand, right? And then when he comes back later, you get to stand before him, and you get to explain to him all that you've done. It sounds good, right? Sounds good, right? What are you doing for Jesus Christ today? Look, he has set before you an open door and no one can shut it. This is why you are here. God saves you and then he's put you in his son's church. That's why you're here. Then he says this to the faithful church. He says, indeed. All right. Catch the Mr. Spock eyebrow there. Indeed. Wish I could do that. Indeed. I'm not done yet. Indeed. I will make those people from the synagogue of Satan. Indeed, I will make them come and I will make them worship right down here, right before your feet. And that you'll know that I have loved you. Then he says this. Because you have kept my command to persevere, or because you have kept my command to hang in there and keep on fighting this good fight of faith, keep on enduring here, out here, as we live in this proverbial Epstein Island. Since you have kept my command to persevere out here, I also will keep you out of the hour of trial. That's going to come upon the whole world to test those that dwell on the earth. Then he says, behold, I'm coming quickly. Then he says, hold fast what you have. It's like trying to, how many mothers around here? A lot, right? And trying to get that little marble or that little piece of candy out of your son's hand. And they throw this temper tantrum that, you know, and then they scream bloody murder. That's his instructions to us. Hold fast what you have. Because there's people out here on Epstein Island that want to steal your crown. And they want to take what you have. That's why Jesus says the thief does not come except to steal and kill and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Hold fast. Be like that little child having a temper tantrum. Don't let anyone steal what you have. Don't let anyone steal your crown. Guard it forcefully. My little 7-year-old neighbor and church member here, Evelyn, Martha's the granddaughter, has got this down really good. She quoted this verse in my house last week. Book, chapter, and verse. She walks into my house, says, I want to get baptized. And I says, what's your favorite verse? She says, 1 Corinthians 15:33. I'm like, really? How many people in here know 1 Corinthians 15:33? Sorry, no offense. But now I'm going to give it to you, and now you won't forget it. And that is this, do not be deceived. Okay, now, that's cheating if I look at it, right? So let's turn it over. I don't want to cheat, right? I don't want to cheat. I'd be a hypocrite if I did, right? Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good morals. Man, oh man, what a great truth that is, right? That's what we looked at a couple weeks ago. One of the downfalls of Judas, remember? Everyone said, is it I? Even Judas said, is it I? We looked at how can I ensure that this doesn't happen to me? That's one of them. He says, do not be deceived. That is, don't kid yourself. And don't think that this can't happen to you. That evil people out here are trying to steal your crown. And their desire is to take you out. Okay. After all my long-winded sermons lately, We'll end this one right here today. And we'll start chapter 3 next Sunday morning. But just as the Holy Spirit had Peter preach what he did, he has me here today reminding you about the power of the Church of Jesus Christ. That's my message to you today. Number one, the Church of Jesus Christ is a force. And it's a force to be reckoned with. And the gates of hell will not prevail against us. And number two, God saves you. And then he puts you into his son's church. All of us here make up the Lord's army. The Church of Jesus Christ is a force to be reckoned with. And the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. The door is swung wide open. And time is short. So let's get busy. Lord God Almighty, we praise you. Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the open door. Lord, forgive us for dropping the ball. All of us, starting with me as a spiritual leader here in this church. Forgive me for the sins of omission that I have led this whole church to do, perhaps. Doors and opportunities that you've opened that I didn't hear you right, or I missed the mark, or I wasn't paying attention, and I never led this church through that door. Forgive me for the sins I've committed as the spiritual leader here, because I know you're going to hold me accountable as well. Lord, we pray that you would forgive us for these sins and me of mine. Speak now to your nature that's in all of us. Show us what you'd have us to do. May this embolden us that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And we pray that you would continue to use Island Community Church as your weapon of choice right here on Banana River Drive. And us individually. Send us out from here. Equip us and empower us. And we praise you now, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I'll leave you guys with this blessing here today. There's some bread and pastries here in the kitchen. Help yourself after the service. Just pop into the kitchen. Help yourself. In the meantime, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. God bless everyone. Have an awesome week. We'll see you back soon in God's house.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Welcome to Breakpoint, a daily look at an ever-changing culture through the lens of unchanging truth. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. Well, apparently, the quarter-zip pullover has become a popular choice for young men on both sides of the Atlantic. It's a preppy compromise between a hoodie and a sports coat, and it's swept across social, racial, and cultural spectrums, from urban epicenters to college campuses. It's even generated an unusual amount of media coverage and analysis. For example, this from The Guardian, quote, "The subtext is that quarter-zips, often associated with white middle-class finance bros, signify professionalism, while Nike Techs, often associated with black working class men living in cities, represent criminality. To wear a quarter zip, these videos say, is to complete your transformation from a hoodlum into something more respectable." And this, according to a different article from USA Today, People engaged with the quarter zip's popularity